We had a great week last week. And so if you were here, you know it was a fun time together. We got to do lots of great things. Today we're collecting. And so we're collecting some hygiene items, Publix gift cards. You can make a donation by dropping it in that box as well. You can go online. I have the QR code up a little bit later if you want to give online to Hands and Feet West Side. But it was a great year. And so today, we step into the third week of Advent, as Catherine shared with us, this focus on joy. And so our reading today comes from, there we go, boom. So this is our Advent devotional. Our reading today comes from, here's a photo, in case you didn't see it. I put this on Facebook, so we had a great time. Santa was awesome. It was a blast to be together. And so our verses today come out of the Gospel of Luke, and we're looking at verses, chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. So I'll read this to you. I'm reading out the NIV. You may have a different translation, but this is what it says. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" As soon as the sound of her greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this picture that brings us to a moment filled with joy, that opens our hearts and minds to what it is you're doing today, what you have done, and what you promise to do in this world. And so, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. So I don't know if you've been following my wife on social media. She's on there a little bit, but here recently she's become quite the social media star. As we've recently been, I would describe it this way, we've been bamboozled, we've been duped, we've been hoodwinked, would be a word I would use, into getting an elf on the shelf, okay? And so this is this morning. It's becoming more and more elaborate. And so our elf is a beautiful young girl elf named Bobby. That was the name selected. And here, Bobby, this morning, was trying on Barbie dresses in the mirror. Invitation in the mail to another elf's wedding. So other elves in our community are getting married as part of their elaborate, ever-escalating. I don't think people realize we got like 16 years of this. And so we actually got this. It came in I don't make this up. It came in a little tiny envelope, this little invitation to a wedding. And so tonight, our elf is going to go to another elf wedding. You know, I've avoided this for a while, and now maybe you can see why. But it's the norm. I didn't realize, like as a kid, we didn't have traditions like this. You know, it was usually the week or so before Christmas, all the decorations went up. There was no elaborate scheming, that kind of thing. We would go see Santa in the mall or that kind of thing. But this is like over the top. And as I was taking photos last week for Breakfast with Santa, I kid you not, every kid gave Santa an update and said, have you talked to Cinnamon, Snickerdoodle? Have you talked to Tommy? Have you talked to my elf? And Santa, like, without missing a beat, was like, oh, yeah, I heard exactly what's happening in your house. Because the idea is the elf goes and reports back to Santa how good you are. And Santa, you know, he, like, made sure he reassured every child, yep, I've talked to, it's a great thing, you know, keep being good, all that kind of stuff. And you know, I have trouble getting my kids on the, like, out of the door to get to the school bus in the morning. But we got an elf, and like 5 a.m., they're up with flashlights. They're like searching for it. And so I'm usually woken up by usually giggling. So they saw this morning. I had to turn the light on to take a photo because they found it in the dark. But there's like giggling, and usually they come running in and they tell us what's happening. They come and see, and it's a race to get to the holidays with all the things happening. Like we're like counting down all of the magic that needs to happen for the elf to make it to Christmas Eve. And maybe the holidays feel a little chaotic. Maybe you've been bamboozled yourself into an elf, or maybe a different transition, but it seems like things kind of pile up this time of year. And this is usually the month that Melissa and I began communicating in memes. Maybe you do that as well. We send memes back and forth. And so this year, I shared this post with her a couple days ago you know, Merry Christmas, right? We know that magical moment in National Lampoon's where he's trying the eggnog because everything else has gone wrong. And the caption is, we've reached the part of December where every day costs $300 for some reason. There's presents everywhere that need to be wrapped. Everyone's getting sick. The house is a mess. Having a breakdown every other day. And then they put the comment, and then there's birthdays and weddings. Like, we literally have birthday, like real birthdays, and then elf weddings that we got to work with here. But it's that season where it kind of, it's chaos. I could tell you a member of the Weber household has been sick or on antibiotics since Halloween. We've done it. We're like good for the rest of the year, hopefully. But it is one of those crazy seasons that seems to ramp up. And I shared this with her, and you know, my personal favorite is when we get the emails from our teachers that tomorrow is some crazy holiday. You know, dress your kid up like the Grinch Day, or something. You know, bring a homemade apple pie the next morning. You know, these crazy things. And so we've been sharing. This is sort of how I respond to those to Melissa. Merry Crisis, right? Merry Crisis. It is great. They're good things, but it seems like sometimes they pile up. There's always something trying to pull us away from things that we lift up, like love and peace and joy and hope. And this season is no different than any other in our world. That every generation, every people group has had some distraction, something to pull them away. And it's created tension during holidays. Yeah, you know, again, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. That could be a tense holiday for families coming together. We've heard from families that have had these wonderful experiences and traditions, and others that they're like, maybe that's our last Thanksgiving together, right? Maybe we just don't need to come together and do this. But for some of us, we may feel like this. You know, Merry Crisis. Feel free to use this. I greet Melissa sometimes with this. Merry Crisis. Welcome to the show. We're getting an elf ready for a wedding. But for many of us, we know the exact moment. If I asked you, we're talking about joy, where you knew deep joy. The moment, you can think of it. It's a memory. It's a thought that you hold on to. It's maybe a picture in your mind that you can lift up right now. For others, joy is a little bit harder to pin down. Maybe it's a season. Maybe you can a feeling of joy, or a year of joy, part of your life where there was sort of this constant feeling of joy, an age when joy seemed easier to find. And some of us, joy feels distant altogether. This can be a difficult season to find joy. It's not impossible. it just seems to be buried by some of the things that pull us away. Maybe covered by grief, covered by disappointment or exhaustion or loss or all the things that sort of keep us from stepping fully into the Advent season to experience hope and peace and joy and love. And part of the challenge is that we often confuse joy and happiness. I know I do this quite a bit. If I'm thinking of I just need to be happy, I can miss some of the things that bring joy in my life because I'm pursuing this. And happiness really depends on our circumstances. There are times where good things happen to me and I'm happy, right? Oh man, that was great. That was wonderful. But joy in this Christian sense that we talk about, that we lift up, that we light candles and we focus on during the season is something deeper. And it's not the absence of pain, but the presence of trust. And this is where we find Mary and Elizabeth, that it's the steady reassurance of God, that God is faithful, even when life is not easy. And good news is something that we quickly share. I love to share good news. Honestly, if you tell me your good news, I'll probably steal it and share it with somebody else, right? We love to share good news, a new job, a promotion, good fortune, a new baby, as we see with Mary and Elizabeth, that joy becomes this communal act. It's meant to be shared together with others. It naturally pulls us towards community. And joy multiplies as we celebrate it together. And when Mary and Elizabeth, they seek each other out to share the good news in their lives, there's something special that comes from it. We mark it. From that moment forward, this picture is captured and read over and over and over again by the people called Christians, that we lift up this moment of great joy. There's something special that happens. All creation will come through these women. The good news that will bring great joy, but will come at a cost. And these women will bear it. We see throughout Scripture the cost of both of these babies carrying out the will of God. That John brings a message that will not be welcomed by all people. He's the crazy one shouting in the desert, "Repent, turn back, believe." And eventually he'll find a person of power who decides it's easier to take John's life than to repent. And then we have Jesus' radical message of salvation for all people, the equality for all Jews and Gentiles eventually leads to the cross, that that people don't want that message. They love the inequality. They love to abuse the people around them, to not treat their neighbors as themselves. And it leads to this place of it would be easier to get rid of Jesus than to follow his ways. Gregory of Nazianzus says this, that God does not deny us sorrow, but he denies sorrow the final word. This is one of the early church fathers, and he talks about this idea that just because we become a Christian, just because we follow God, there are some people that will try and convince us that if we just do the right things, if we live right, if we believe and behave, our life will be perfect. And in fact, the Christian story is not that. That God doesn't deny us sorrow, that in fact, as we begin to follow God and see more and more of what his plan is, we realize how broken the world is. We live in the tension between. But God does allow for sorrow to not have the final word. That there is goodness, that there is a joy, that there is promises of hope that we catch glimpses of here and there and we experience in our own life and we can trust that in the end, sorrow and grief, destruction, sin, all the brokenness of the world does not have the final word. It's something that we have to acknowledge and embrace in our lives as we get to know God more, as we live our lives as Christians, as followers of Christ. And so how do we find joy in the midst of sorrow and pain? The Psalms tell us that weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And this is one of those seasons that more than ever, I begin to see the tension. In fact, just a few days ago, I spoke with somebody here in our community that I've gotten to know well who was diagnosed with cancer. For the dancer, and the conversation I was having with them is that they had surgery scheduled for the day after Christmas and then was immediately starting chemo as it healed from that. And they shared with me how thankful they were that they could still do Christmas with their family the day before. This tension of plans and excitement of spending time with children and grandchildren, opening presents and making memories. But I think what tension that Christmas is going to hold for this family. As there's an unknown looming, and not just way off in the distance, but the day after Christmas, they have to go in, they have to experience something that is traumatic, that is worrisome, that brings fear and anxiety into their life. And I think of the tension that it holds. In my own life, I've shared this before, even this day, today holds tension, December 14th. Many years ago, a friend of mine passed away, my best friend, in a terrible accident. December 14th, 1998. I did the math on how long ago it was, but I don't want to share that with you. You can do it on your own. But December 14th, since then, has been a terrible day. There were many Christmases past that where I only embraced grief, where it was really hard to celebrate the goodness, where it was hard to do all the fun things. It was hard to celebrate the hope and the goodness of Christmas. And I allowed grief and anger and sorrow to reign, to rule, and have the final word for quite some time. It's not until after someone shared faith with me and invited me into relationship with Jesus that I found that Christian joy is not found on the far side of sorrow. It's not that we have to get through it. We got to survive it and get to the other side. But it's often found in the middle. That as we're in it, as we're experiencing things that are not right, things that are not good, things that bring grief and sorrow, that's when God is doing a work in us. That's when God is showing his faithfulness, his promise, his trust. And so it's important that Christian joy is not found on the far side of sorrow, but often right in the middle of it. We see that throughout Jesus' life. We see that throughout the scriptures, that people in deep sorrow experience this grace that they can't explain, this gift from God that allows them to experience things like joy and hope and peace. When you're looking from the outside, you think, how in the world can that person experience that in the midst of what's going on in their life? But it's often in the middle that God shows his faithfulness. Joy reminds us of this bigger picture. It pulls us out of the small view. I know when I get frustrated or angry or I have things that aren't going my way, I begin to get this tunnel vision that my life is miserable, that for some reason I'm the only one experiencing these difficult things, that there just seems to be things piled on me, and I can sort of see people's lives around me and go, their life is better, and I don't know why. I don't know why I'm getting the short end of the stick. This heartache begins to root us in something that is not of God. And joy brings us to this larger story, this kingdom picture, this God's promise that's not just for the moment, not just for this picture here with Mary and Elizabeth coming together to embrace, but it's a promise for you and I today that the good news of Jesus reminds us it's for all people at all times, that it travels from then to now and speaks into our lives. And so one of the questions that I wrestle with, that I want us to wrestle with today, as we look at this picture, as we come back to Mary and Elizabeth, we have to remember that neither of them had an easy road ahead. That even in their language they shared with each other, even in their praise of God, they lifted up the tensions that would come, the difficulties that they would have to live through. Joy didn't erase their uncertainty or their fear or the cost of what God was doing, but yet they chose to move forward and move towards one another, to lean into this hope and grace, to name the goodness of God out loud, to say that God has done great things, that God has made promises not only to me but to his people, and I believe, I trust, I have faith that God is going to do what God is going to do. And trust that God is at work even when the full picture is not clear. Even as they're navigating the difficult things in their life, the difficult things in the lives of their children, as they experience worry and fear and anxiety. Advent joy is not loud and carefree. It's not this great celebration. It's not pretending that everything is fine. It's a steady joy that shows up when we remember that God is still faithful, that God is still present, that God is still working, even in the middle of what feels really unfinished. And not just unfinished, even in the middle of things that feel broken and unrepairable. God is working in the midst. John Wesley, the founder of our faith, if you don't know this about him, when he made his mind up about something, he stuck with it. And one of the things that he was adamant about, that he shared over and over and over again, is this deep belief that joy is not happiness, that joy is not this fleeting emotion. In fact, he would defend this idea of joy because Christian joy was pushed in all these directions, that it was this idea of God blessing you, that God made your life perfect and great and wonderful. You just try harder, you do more, you pray more, and your life will be perfect. And he pushed back and he said, it's not happiness. It's not a fleeting emotion. He says, joy is the assurance of God's love in your life. That no matter what, no matter what's happening, God loves you deeply. That he loves you particularly. That he loves you more than you can imagine. That in your life, there is this assurance in God's faithfulness. This idea that we look back on what has happened in creation. We look back on the promises that God has made. And we trust in his faithfulness. That God is a God who does not lie. That when he makes a promise, he keeps it. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. When he speaks truth. And finally, that hope is rooted in God's promises, that God continually lifts up the promises of goodness for you and I, for those that follow him, that we can see his faithfulness to keep the promises, but we can also lean into the promises as our own. They're not for people unlike us. They're not for people at different ages. They are for all people who trust and follow him. And so in the midst of this unfinished, in the midst of this broken, God is present. And some of us are carrying real grief into this season. I understand that. This is a season unlike any other where people who have experienced a loss feel it the most. There's a reason we do Blue Christmas on the longest night of the year. That people come out and they're searching for something, that maybe they're trying to look for a new way of living life, a new tradition, a new way of moving forward, and everything around them in Christmas reminds them of maybe a loss or a grief or a broken relationship. Some of us are carrying exhaustion or anxiety or disappointment. We're sort of like, I cannot wait for a new year to just start over. I can't wait to shed all these things and start again. But for most of us, we carry those things into the new year. If we don't look at them, if we don't address them, if we don't work through them, they kind of come right over that new year boundary and join us in the next. We're holding both joy and sorrow at the same time. And we're unsure of what to do with the tension. Maybe you felt this. I know I feel this all the time, especially this time of year, interacting with people that are experiencing great joy and those that are experiencing great loss. And trying to hold the tension together. But the good news of Advent is that God meets us there. That it's not something we have to get through on the other side and he's waiting at the finish line, but that God is here. Not after the sorrow is gone, not once everything makes sense, but right in the middle of it. St. Augustine says this, the joy of the Lord is not the absence of suffering, but the presence of God. The joy of the Lord is not the absence of suffering, but the presence of God. That when we lean in to the presence of God, when we acknowledge that God is here, he's been here, he is moving in our lives, whether suffering is present or not becomes a moot point. That we can find joy even in the most difficult moments. The presence of God is where we find Mary and Elizabeth finding great joy. Unsure of the road ahead, unsure of what's coming next, unsure of the tension that maybe their children will bring into the world and the heartache they'll experience. But in the middle of it, they have joy. And so our question for us to sit with, for us to carry this week of joy, is this. Where might God be inviting you to notice or share joy even as you carry sorrow? Where is it in the world around you? Have you looked in your neighbors, your coworkers? Have you looked in your relationships to notice places you could share joy even when you don't feel like it? Even when it doesn't feel festive and fun, even if happiness is fleeting, if there's grief in your life, are there places that you can notice or share joy and hold the tension, even if you're carrying sorrow? It's not to fix it. We're not people that fix things. We can't fix people. They're not problems to be solved. It's not to deny it that people's problems aren't a big deal. You know, we're not going around saying your life will be better if you just trust in God, if you're just filled with His joy, if you just pray harder. That's not the Christian life that we're called to. We're called to be present with people, to share joy in sorrow, to experience the goodness of God no matter the circumstances around us. We do that by noticing where God may already be at work, quietly reminding us, you and me, that sorrow does not get the final word. That as we look at the world around us, we can see glimpses of the goodness of God, the promises of God. And so this week, maybe we'll be people like Mary and Elizabeth who move forward together, who move toward one another, who seek out community to share joy in this communal experience, even when the world is not quite right, to speak hope out loud and trust that God's promises are still unfolding. Where might God be inviting you to notice or share joy even as you carry sorrow this season? Let's pray.